Isn't God good? Tell you what, Pastor Angela got up here and she was talking about her kids are more spiritual, I guess, than I was when I was a kid. I got a text from my mom. She said, "You hear how spiritual Pastor Angela's kids are?" She said, "When you were little, you used to feel that way about Dairy Queen." No, she didn't say that. I better correct that. I'll get in trouble. She may be here. Unless she heard I was speaking tonight, she might not be. Praise the Lord. So glad that you decided to make it tonight. What an honor to speak to you. It always is to speak to you here at Raymond Bible Church. I'm so grateful to be a part of what God is doing through this place and through, you know, what can you say about our pastors? The faithfulness, the longevity to be here year after year doing the same thing because, you know, for no other reason than that God called them to do it, you know? When you think about family in ministry, I always think that's so special that when a family is in ministry, that you see generations just doing, you know, what the Lord said to do when they could do something else. When you know that Pastor Hagin, when he tells a story about wanting to, he could have just stayed where he was at down in Texas and not come here to help Brother Hagin when they were starting the school, but the Lord said to do something different. You know, Pastor Craig got a degree in accounting and he could be out there making all kinds of money and doing something in finance. But the Lord called him to be a part of what's going on here and this ministry. And Pastor Denise, the same thing. She's got a degree in early childhood development. She could have gone and started something different, but instead she came here and we have Oklahoma's largest daycare. Isn't that something? But it's because of obedience, people saying yes to the Lord, right? So my message tonight is not about that, but it is about me saying yes to the Lord. The last time I shared with you, I made mention of something in sharing part of my testimony that really got me thinking about the importance of praise, you know, to praise God, how valuable that is. The title of my message is Victory in Your Voice. But I shared about how I was sick physically in my body, and the devil was telling me, you know how the devil will whisper in your ear, you just give you thoughts about things, was telling me that I was going to die by the time that I was 30. And I was just a couple years shy of 30 when I was hearing that. And, you know, the emotions that go along with that. What you think about when you think you're dying. I had something going on that was affecting my vision, had doctor's appointments, had an MRI, and they were checking for neurological issues, but I had this issue where I couldn't focus right. It was an awful thing to experience. And as a young man who had children and a wife, to think that you were gonna die and leave them. And mind you, you know, I was born again, but I didn't know a whole lot. I thought if it was at that point, well, not really much I can do about this. Try to convince God to maybe help me. So fasting, the meals I missed, thinking that moves God somehow. But I could have been eating that whole time. I was trying to impress God with how long I could go without eating a hamburger. God was never like, "Oh, Rob, that's impressive." He never did that. I was trying to get myself in line. I didn't realize it. But one of the things that I got a hold of during that time, that brings me to what we're talking about tonight. I got a hold of a message by Brother Hagin called The Praise Cure. It was part of we have it in our faith library. It's on a series called Ministering to the Lord. And I loved that message because in addition to teaching the principles about praising God and the importance of praising God, they also, by example, at the end, they left that time of praise and worship at the end of the tape, on the cassette tape that tells you how long ago it was. And so you could listen to that. And while I was dealing with all these symptoms, the first thing that started helping to bring me out, that gave me some hope, was learning about this praise cure. Pastor Hagin's got a book that it's The Untapped Power of Praise, that I don't know if you've ever read this. The first chapter of it is called The Praise Cure. And he tells a similar story to what Brother Hagin shared a story in the Praise Cure about Dr. Lillian Yeomans. And I don't have time to give you the history on who she was exactly, but she was a medical doctor, and she received divine healing, got revelation about healing. But she was telling a story about a missionary, and it's in Pastor Hagin's book here, telling a story about a missionary who was on the field and got smallpox. And at the time that they had gotten smallpox, it was a death sentence. And the Lord gave this missionary a vision and showed them two baskets and said, one of these baskets is the sickness that you're dealing with, the smallpox, and the other one is your praise. And the basket with the sickness was much heavier. And basically the Lord said that when your praise basket gets heavier, this will lift, is what he was showing her. And so it helped her to understand. And that's what I found as I was listening to the message that Brother Hagin was teaching on this. I started praising, and what I would find was that anytime I started praising, the symptoms would lift. They would go away. And then later they would come back. I didn't know what I know now, okay? You know, just bear with me. But they would come back on me, and I would be most miserable again. Every symptom would come back. I would take my lunch the next day. I would go back in that room. I worked in local government. I was in the courthouse. I would go into this room at the courthouse. I would put that tape on. I would turn the lights down in that room because one of the symptoms that I was having was these visual symptoms. And so I wanted to get rid of that. And so I couldn't see. There was just light underneath the door. And I would walk around and I would listen to that message. And they would get to the part about praising. And then I would just start praising along with them. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Just telling him what I was grateful for. And I would begin to praise God, and all the things would lift. Eventually, I learned after coming out here, I came to Rhema. I didn't die by the time I was 30. I didn't want to be late for class, and I was a student. I was a door monitor. I had to make sure your badge was punched, you know. So, Lord, you can't let me go right now. I'm busy. I didn't die. I finished my course here, but I learned some things in class. I worked here for the ministry, got a hold of How to Receive from God, another Brother Hagin teaching on the subject of healing. Eventually came completely out of that and got delivered from that. But when I first heard about it, it sounded strange to me that you would praise God. I didn't feel like I had a whole lot to be praising God about. I had all these symptoms. I didn't feel like praising God. You ever felt like that? Psalm 34 says this. The psalmist says this, beginning with verse 1. It says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall occasionally be in my mouth. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. There's something about a continual praising of God that will lift off of us every symptom of sickness and disease, every bit of anxiety, every fear. When we praise God, well, the scripture tells us this. It says, the psalmist said in Psalm 30 or 22, verse 3, that he inhabits the praises of Israel. Well, you could say, you wouldn't do any harm to the scripture to say that he inhabits the praises of his people, the people that belong to God. There's something about the tangible dwelling presence of God in the midst of our praise, that when you're in the presence of God, the law of displacement takes place, where two things can't occupy the same space. All the depression, all the anxiety, all the fears, all the worries, all the concerns, when we praise God and we bring into our lives the praise of God, we bring the very presence of God into the praises, and something about having God in the room somehow seems to push out the darkness. Isn't that amazing? There's just something about light that pushes back darkness. Glory to God. Praise for us as believers should be, and this is my first point, praise is a lifestyle, it's not a lifeline. Praise can't just be a lifeline for us. According to this scripture, we're to always bless the Lord. A lot of times, though, we find that instead of a continual lifestyle of praising God, we bless the Lord when things are going good. We could say it like this. We could say in our lives, we might say, I'll bless the Lord when the check hits the bank. And I'll bless the Lord when the gas hits the tank. He'll get my thanks when whatever it is that I've been believing for manifests. But by that point, anybody can praise God when the money's in the bank. Isn't that right? Anybody can praise God when all the symptoms leave your body. Shoot, your symptoms can leave your body and I can praise God about them. It doesn't even have to be my body. We hear that somebody's symptoms leave. We hear that somebody gets healed. We hear that somebody gets a breakthrough. Glory to God. We can praise God about that. But what about before it happens? Not wait until afterwards. Amen. For years, I used to say, my nephew used to make fun of me. When I was a preacher, I would say, after I got healed and I was out, I pastored my first church, a little bitty church. It's the one I tell y'all that I brag about doubling a congregation because there was five people there and there's five people in my car. I don't like to tell that part because it didn't make me sound like a growth expert. But was it Brother Hagin used to say that about an expert's just a drip under pressure? Is that right? We only had like 10 people in the congregation, but I had received my healing while I was here at Rhema. I'm preaching. I'd get real excited, because now I'm healed. I'd learned about the praise cure. God had brought me out. And then I'd get to preaching and I had this little dance. I'd glory to God. And my nephew, I had to quit it because my nephew would do that little dance whenever he was showing somebody, he's like, do your impression of your uncle. That was what he had for me. Like, glory to God. I look like a chicken. I've got more rhythm than that, just so you know. I'm better than that. But for years, I would say that until it became a habit. There's worse habits to have than saying glory to God. Isn't that right? But typically, our lifestyles consist of this. Unless we understand that praise precedes our breakthrough, our lifestyle looks like ups and downs, that when we come in, our life is a roller coaster where things are up and they're down and they're up and they're down. And then we come to church and all of a sudden, in the middle of all these people that are worshiping God, we find that we're able to build ourselves up enough that we can make it through the rest of the week. You know, if you're having a hard time, you might be like, now I'm a two service a week person. You go. I'll come to church twice a week and I'll get filled up. And what I'm doing, many times we're doing it so that we can get through the rest of the roller coaster week that we've got and we get ourselves built up just enough. But what if we could just live above all of those things? What if we could change that and instead of just building ourselves, y'all can't hear me now? I can shout louder than that. I'm going to keep going until somebody gives me this handheld. Oh, shoot. Man, if I get a handkerchief too, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I don't know if I can preach with this thing. Check, check. Checkity, check, check. What's that? Oh, it's the PA. Well, you know what? I feel real bad for those folks online. I'm sorry, but I'm going to keep preaching, all right? Notice this. Take note that God is good even when your circumstances aren't. Even when our circumstances aren't great, God still is. Even when the whole world seems like it's falling apart, God isn't. Even when things get hard on the job, even when you think that you're going to lose your family, you're going to lose your life, I'm telling you that there is a God that says that it's subject to change. We need to understand that just because, people say, well, I don't know, man, I'm sick and it's terminal. The banker says we can't do anything about the finances. But if it could change from good to bad, could it change back from bad to good? Could things go from where they are now and how hard things might be to where God says that he sees us? the way that God sees us. I think when we look at Joshua, go to Joshua 6 with me. Joshua chapter 6, we see the story of the walled city in Jericho. I'm going to read this to you. We're going to talk about it just a little bit. It says, now Jericho was securely shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given you Jericho into your hand. Its king and the mighty men of valor, you shall march around the city. All you men of war, you shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days, and seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the walls of the city will fall down flat. Now, if you're Joshua, this seems weird. You want us to march around for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, we get the ram's horns, we get everything out there, but you want us to march it around and then give a shout at the walls. If you read this story, you'll notice God didn't tell this to everybody. That's a lot of pressure for a guy. Because, you know, what if you didn't hear right? Don't you think you'd be perking your ears up just a little bit? Say that again. He said, this is what I want you to do. When Joshua goes back, when you read the story, he doesn't tell them everything the Lord said. He just goes back and it says, verse 6, then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed in advance before the ark of advance before the ark of the Lord. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced. They blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant and the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your... Joshua's a smart man. He knows these people's history. Now the whole generation had already died out, but these folks don't know when to keep their mouth closed. The Lord didn't tell him, now you don't let him talk. Joshua has just been here before. He said, y'all don't say nothing until I tell you we're going to shout. But until then, don't say nothing. Why? Because there's still walls up. We're marching around these walls. What do you think you're going to say to you're going to turn to your neighbor and you ain't going to say, the walls are coming down. You're going to turn to your neighbor and say, Joshua has flipped his lid. Our folks was right. Would to God we were back in Egypt by the flesh pots, not the crack pots. Because this guy, he said, don't say anything. But that instruction didn't come from the Lord. That was just the wisdom that God had given him. And they didn't say nothing. And the walls are still up. But then we know the rest of the story. They gave their shout. And what happened? The walls came down. Isn't that right? But the marching, the preparation was all done while the walls were still up. And the issue wasn't about the walls. The issue was about the word of the Lord. God had said something, and I would propose to you, you know, sometimes people share this, and I understand, I get it. You know, I'm not judging what somebody else has said about this. But a lot of times people say, you know, they shouted to bring the walls down, and we shout because the walls are down. But really, some of the walls in our life are still up. I don't shout because of the walls. That doesn't do you any good either way. I shout at the word of the Lord. My shout, it doesn't matter because your shout is about the word of the Lord, it doesn't matter if the walls are up or down, because God said they're coming down. It doesn't matter what they look like right now. It doesn't matter how it feels. God told me something different, and so that's why I'm willing to shout the walls down. Whether they're up or whether they're down, if I've got the word of the Lord on it, I can stand on it. The reason that I can give him praise is because he said they're coming down. He said they're coming down. He said it, so I'm just going to do it. Walk around the walls, I'll walk. Wouldn't that have been cool if we had that old platform and that thing just started lowering? I wish I could have hooked that up. I couldn't even get my microphone to work, so sorry. Glory to God. Somebody say glory to God. Sometimes people come in with a near empty tank for their praise level. We sing a couple of songs and we relax a little bit. We begin to feel like praising God. The minister preaches and it helps to build us up. But what if we were proactive in our approach? What if we spent all week saying, you know what? I'm praising because my God is good. I'm praising because my God is faithful. I'm praising because my God is able. I'm praising because this wall will be like that last wall, and every wall that comes up against me and every mountain will be removed. And it doesn't matter that it doesn't look like it today, because God hasn't changed. And if God hasn't changed, my circumstance has to. Whatever I'm facing, however hard it might seem, God said it, so we believe it, and that settles it. Amen. The devil doesn't get the final say in our lives. Man, I like music a whole lot. I used to want to be a rapper. Somebody said, hey, don't laugh, I got flow. Somebody said to me one time, they was like, what's your favorite rapper? And I was like, right now it's Candy Rapper. No, sorry. Y'all are dirty for laughing at that joke. That's terrible. I like music, and some of the music I like exciting music. I like music that will get you stirred up, that you'll get excited about stuff. There used to be a song that my dad used to sing it. He liked country gospel. And this song, it says, it's talking about being in prison. It says, there's no escape. Though the devil may, how's it go? There's no escape, though the devil he says, but he ain't God, and this ain't Alcatraz. Whatever prison you're in is not unbreakable. Whatever difficulty the enemy has brought is all fixable. It's all repairable. Unless God is not able in any circumstance that the enemy might bring, is God able? Well, if he's able, then it's subject to change. Whatever we're going through, praise, a life of praise is developed out of understanding that because God has told me already what he's going to do, I'm going to praise him while I see myself through. While I'm walking to the other side, I'm going to keep on praising. I'm just going to keep on praising. That song, you know, that take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. Paul danced with the shackles on his feet. Sometimes you can't get a little more than. But. But get something in your feet. Get something in your feet. Glory to God. Even when we hadn't been faithful, God still is. And he is always able. Even though the walls were still up in Jericho, God was still able. He had given them a word. And when you have, see, this is the reason why the enemy works so hard to try to get us off our game, because he knows if he can get us distracted enough that we can't hear from God, he's got us right where he wants us. Why? Because breakthrough comes as a result of what God says. Whatever God says, I mean, some weird stuff, but it works. Spit in the eyes, go dip in the river. Go get your money out of a fish's mouth. Bring me that kid's sack of lunch. And what if people said, what? No, I can't do that. But when God says it, whatever he says, he is able to perform. Thank God. Man, I used to get so nervous about praying for sick folks because I thought I had to fix something. There ain't no pressure on me. Believers lay hands on the sick and they recover. Why? Because you're just the conduit. He's the can do it. Isn't that right? So I lay hands on people and there's nothing that I can give you. It's God. And I'm only laying hands on you because he said, lay hands on the sick and they recover. His words. While the walls are up, while you're still feeling your symptoms, while you're still looking at the bills piling up, while you think that you're not going to make it. Y'all hear that organ? Well, oh. Glory to God. I didn't know you were back there, brother. Glory to God. Look over at Acts 16 with me. Acts 16, beginning with verse 16, says this. It says, now, it happened as they went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Well, that was true, wasn't it? Like I heard somebody say one time, but you don't want the devil advertising for your meeting. But it was true. But she went after them. It said, thus she did for many days. What was this? Just the devil trying to stir stuff up, right? Just trying to get things stirred up. So, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates, and they said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans to receive or observe. Then the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight. So, walls ain't down. Come on. I said the walls aren't down. Looks like they just keep going up. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Singing hymns to God. You know, every one of us has a song. You've got something on the inside of you. Now, for me, I told y'all I like to rap. The Lord has always given me things in rhyme. I'll get things in rhyme and I'll be in a service sometimes and I'll get something in a rhyme. But it doesn't have to rhyme. You've got a song. It's a song of victory. Yours may not be called, look what the Lord has done. It might be called something else. My kids got free. My dog got sick. The devil thought he had me because he thinks he's slick. But God is faithful and he brought me out. He's done it before. All it took was my shout. You've got a song. You've got something that you can say. When my life was a mess, things were all messed up. When things weren't, I didn't think I was ever going to get out of this. I was addicted to drugs. I was addicted to alcohol. I had a terminal disease. Whatever the thing is, and you can say, but God brought me to this point. And so I'm giving you praise to the Ancient of Days. The devil can go, but Jesus, he stays. You've got a song. a victory song at midnight while they were still fastened in chains. And you know the cool thing about this story? I'm running out of time. Man, I ain't running out of voice though. Glory to God. Interesting thing about this, some people, when the stocks were torn off and the chains were broken and they were free, sometimes people use that. If you're waiting until they come off before you give your praise and your shout, you're probably looking for a way out. But they were already convinced before all that stuff came off, so they were, the shackles are coming off my feet so I can dance. I'm going to pray. They were already praising God. They were already giving God glory. And when you're already giving God glory, when the walls are still up and the chains are still on, when you're already giving God the praise for all of those things, what happens is when the walls fall down, you stand around and dance on them a little bit. You don't run out. Somebody gets ready to kill himself and he says, don't. We're still here. And he asks for a light and they say, we got a light for you. A gospel light. And they preach Jesus instead of running off. When you're convinced that God is good and he's bringing you through, before the walls are even down, you're already praising him and you stick around just so the devil knows you got the victory. You climb up on top of it and you let him know that you win. Because with Jesus, we always win. Our praise should begin the moment we wake up in the morning. We thank God for another day. We thank God for the breath that he put in our lungs. We thank God for his faithfulness. We thank him for his goodness. It might do us some good for the last 3 minutes here. Let's just stand up and let's just praise the Lord for a minute while we're here. Just thank God for what he's already done in your life. Thank God for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, your mercy to heal, your mercy to deliver, your mercy to bring us out. We thank you, Lord. Oh, you're good and your mercy endures forever. You are good and your mercy endures forever. Oh, so gracious, so mighty, so good, so good. Even when we thought we were going under, you brought us out. Even when we didn't see how we were going to make it, you were too good, too good, too good, too good. God, you're so good. So good. Glory to God. Glory to God. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. You may not feel healed, but you say, thank you, Lord. I'm healed because you said I'm healed. You may think, oh, I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. Listen, when I was a student, I used to come in. I thought I was going to lose my house. My car was breaking down. Every time I come to work, it seemed like every week my car was breaking down. I had a house and no job. How's that even happen? House and no job. I was going to lose my... I'd come in to Exaltation with the rest of the students. And then I didn't feel like praising God. But by that point, I learned praise was my way out. And I'd come into Exaltation and I'd just start giving God glory. It wasn't too long and the Lord gave me a job. And it was a job that could pay my bills. It wasn't too long and that car that kept breaking down, God sent me 2 mechanics. Why 2? Because he's exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think. What if one of them was on vacation? Eventually I got a better car. But until then, he kept them running. He took care of me. And he'll take care of you because he's faithful, because he loves you. Not because you've been faithful, because he is. So you can rejoice when the devil tells you, the devil will remind you of every time that you messed up. You get it under the blood and you go back to your father and you come boldly to the throne of grace. He's not beating you. He's not waiting to beat you over the head with nothing. The devil is, but why are you going to side with him? Just start praising God, and pretty soon he has to leave the room. You can say, hey, devil, you're excused. I'm with my Father God, so you're excused. You find your own way out. I got business to tend to. And you begin to praise God. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Oh, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. We better quit. It's hour of power. We better stop. Here's what we're going to do. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, our prayer workers are going to come down this way. We'll ask the ladies to go to the ladies, the men to go to the men. But if you're here tonight and you need somebody to agree with you, you need somebody to shout with you and get excited with you, to rejoice with you in your victory, then you come to, when the rest of us leave, you come down here and you receive what you came for. Don't leave here like you came. You need Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You need to rededicate your life. You need a know-so experience. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need healing for anything. You need a financial breakthrough, and you want somebody to agree with you that you'll receive exactly what you need. It'll be on time. Then I want you to come down here as we're leaving. Gentlemen, anything? Pastor Craig, anything? Glory to God. I love you guys. I wouldn't trade y'all for nothing. Love on your church family before you leave. Be here on Sunday. We love and appreciate y'all. God bless you.